I've been blessed with the service. I really enjoyed the Sunday school, and the sermon is just going to be a continuation. I didn't plan it that way, but it was what I was chose to speak on, and I suddenly realized that we're just going to continue on. Stephen's life is such a life, a testimony to the people around him. I believe our Sunday school teacher closed with the thoughts that Stephen's life was a shining testimony to the people looking on. And my question to you this morning is, what is your testimony? And if you want a title, my title is going to be, Your Life, a Powerful Testimony. Didn't realize how close it was to the Sunday school lesson, because Stephen's life was a powerful testimony, but so is your life. The things that you are saying, the things that you are doing is a powerful testimony to the world around you. And that's what we want to think about this morning. I love the book of Acts. That's why the Sunday school lessons are so powerful, because God is doing amazing things. And so this morning we had Stephen. If we back up about four Sundays ago, we had a lame man that was sitting there for years just begging and begging and wishing someone would give him some money so he could buy his food, buy the necessities of life, until he met Jesus. And it says he leaping up. He didn't just stand up, leaping and dancing and praising God. And I wonder what that looked like. His life was a powerful testimony to the people that were looking at him. This man couldn't stand still. This man was leaping and dancing. He couldn't hold them legs. Them legs just wanted to move. And he was probably putting on a show. And probably the audience was saying, look at that guy. What's wrong with him? And other people would say, well, he's the lame man. That man can't walk, but look at him now. He's leaping and praising God. A life, a testimony of what God can do. And so is your life. Your life is a powerful testimony of the saving grace of God. But are you sharing it? Are you sharing it? Do the people around you look at you and say, wow, he's different. God has done something in his life. God has done something in our life, and it needs to make a difference. Well, I want to begin with my thoughts of looking in the scriptures at a man that had a testimony. And you were introduced to him this morning because our devotional leader took us there. Do you know who I'm talking about? The man that had a testimony. I won't call on you, but who do you know? Who in the scripture had a testimony? Let's look at Hebrews 11. Devotional leader took us to Hebrews 11. I just smiled because I thought, well, we'll see where we go with this. Hebrews 11 is that faith chapter. And men of God. But I want to look at a man of God, a tremendous man of faith, and how it affected the testimony of him. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he shall not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He had a testimony in his life. He was known in the community for being what? A man that pleased God. That's just tremendous to me. That a man would live his entire life, that at the end of his life, people said, that man right there was a man that pleased God. He was known for it. It was his testimony. We could say a testimony is his way of life. It was the things that he said, but it was also the things that he did. Enoch, just one verse there. By faith, Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. And oh, that every one of us here, every woman here, every man here would be known by that our testimony is one that we loved God, that we pleased God. Turn with me to another verse that talks about him. Let's go to Genesis 5. We'll learn just a little bit more about this man, Enoch. just gives us a little history on Enoch. Genesis 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. This man lived a long life. 300, he was 65 years old when he had his first son. And after he had his first son, he lived another 300 years. So his lifespan was 365. We have 365 days to a year. Enoch lived 365 days, 365 years. And he was a powerful man. I mean, we only live 100 years, but think about the influence that a man could have if you lived for 365 years. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Again, a powerful witness and a powerful statement that he walked with God. It says, for the first 65 years, I wonder what he did, because it says, after he had his first son, then he began to walk with God. Did you notice that? And maybe for them first 65 years, he was just figuring out life. I wonder what it was after 65 years. I don't know. But the scripture clearly says, after 65 years, then he began to walk with God. And he walked with God 300 years. Every day he got up and he thought about God. For 300 years, he walked. You know what it means to walk with someone? How do you walk with God? If I were to walk down this aisle with my wife, when we were married, we walked down the aisle together. We walked shoulder to shoulder, side by side. My wife wasn't ahead. I wasn't ahead. We were walking together. That's how Enoch walked with God. He walked side by side with God. He walked with God. He did what God wanted him to do. He stopped when God stopped. They talked together. When you walk with someone, you have time to talk. You have time to fellowship. And it's an enjoyable thing to walk with my wife, to walk because you walk together with friends. And Enoch and God were friends. They had a very, very close relationship. They walked together. It wasn't that Enoch was running one way and God was walking another way. That's not walking together. They walked together for 300 years. And he was known for that. That was his testimony that he pleased God. Just a powerful thought. For 300 years of walking with God. I heard another preacher say it like this. He said they were walking side by side for 300 years. And eventually one day God looks over at Enoch and he says, Enoch, we're closer to my house than your house. Why don't you just come on home with me? And Enoch went home with God. I love that. That's a picture of the saint walking together with God. And eventually God says, son, daughter, we're closer to my house than your house. Just come on home with me. And he went home. He was translated. He was taken out of this life. And he went home to be with God. There's one more verse that I'd like to look at. And turn with me to Jude. We just have another two verses that talk about Enoch. Of what and who Enoch was. It helps give a description of Enoch and how he lived his life. Enoch was living way before Noah. He was the great grandfather to Noah. I believe it was 400 some years between Noah and Enoch to try to get in perspective of the lifespan when Enoch was living. We have the verse in Jude, verse 14, and it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And he goes on. But he was a preacher of righteousness, And I find it interesting that that's what Noah did. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But Enoch, in his time of 300 years, he wasn't just walking with God, but he was preaching and he was telling people about God is coming back. God is a God of righteousness, and God will not put up with sin, all the ungodly deeds which they have committed. And he was preaching that God is coming back. He was a God of judgment. And for years, for 300 years, I don't know how long he preached, but it said he was a preacher of righteousness. That's what he was known by. But when God took him home, he walked with God. He had that testimony. And I again ask you, what is your testimony? What is coming forth out of your life? What are you known by in the community? What do your neighbors know you by? The neighbors knew Enoch as, there's the man that walks with God. And I would hope that that could be said of each one of us this morning. We started in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and our devotional leader took us there, and we talked about faith. How it's a testimony is not something so much as what you say, yet it's so critical what we say, but it's our lifestyle. It's how we live our life. It's our speech and our actions. Enoch preached, was a preacher of righteousness. He preached about God, and yet he lived it, and he walked with God. His walk and his talk lined up. We think about his great-grandson, Noah, how he was a man of faith, and he built that ark. Years and years, they were building that ark in faith, waiting for the time when God was to bring judgment upon this earth. Talks about Abraham. Talks about how Joseph worshiped God in faith. And we could go on, Moses and Rahab and David. And there's the faith chapter of people that put their faith into action. And that's what they were known by. Enoch was a man that had a testimony that he pleased God. And I love that. What are we known by? Let's think a little bit what a testimony is. A testimony is a firsthand witness of a fact. We could say it's evidence. You witnessed an accident, and so you have a testimony of what happened. It's facts. You were there. You saw it. You know exactly what took place. It's evidence. Another definition is an open acknowledgement or a public profession of a religious experience. And so we could talk about a testimony is what God has done in my heart. I had to think of the blind man that Jesus healed. How Jesus healed him. He was blind and he said, I don't know, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. That's a powerful testimony of, I don't know, I'm not a smart man. But one thing I do know is that Jesus touched my life. And I was blind, but he changed my life and now I see. That's a testimony. And I ask you, what is your testimony? What has God done for you? What can you share with the people around you? Your church family. Occasionally, Brother Stan may stand up here and say, I'd like to open up for testimonies. What would you like to share? I did that a few Sundays ago at my own home congregation. And when you have a big congregation, everyone else thinks someone else will share a testimony. And everything was quiet. And we just sat there. I'm sure you are bubbling over with testimonies this morning. And if Brother Stan were to call for a testimony, possibly it would be a long time till it's quiet. But many times I find it that people think someone else will share a testimony. Well, who is supposed to share a testimony anyhow? I mean, possibly ordained men? I mean, they're the ones that has a testimony. Or maybe it's the older brothers that's among us. And so when you call for, Brother Stan's calling for testimonies, you just kind of expect there might be three people to talk. Every one of you need to have a testimony. Young people, you need a testimony of what Jesus has done in your life. Young men, young ladies, older ladies, all of us here have been touched by the hand of God. If you have allowed God to work at work in your life, you have been changed. And you have a testimony. You should be excited about what God has done. You should be willing to share. And yes, your hands get sweaty, and you're not sure what you're going to say, but that's okay. I would like to say, if you can't share a testimony among your brothers and sisters here at Lakeview, how are you going to share a testimony when you're a Stephen and you're standing in front of a mob and they're ready to stone you? You need to have a testimony now, and you need to share that testimony with someone of what Jesus has done. It's so easy to look at the Stephens and say, wow, I want to be a Stephen. But when the opportunity is given, oh, someone else will. I do construction for a living, and so I have different subcontractors that come work for me, and I have a godly plumber that does all my plumbing needs. And I was building an addition, an in-law suite for a couple, and so we were in their house working. We were doing completion, and the plumber man was there before I got there, and I had to walk into this lady's house, and I heard the plumber singing. And he wasn't singing quietly. He did not care who heard him. He was back there singing godly songs. Okay, I know where the plumber is. And that is him. He's known, he loves to sing. He sang one verse. He went into the second verse. He didn't know I was listening. The homeowner was sitting right there on her couch, and I had to walk past her to get into this addition. And she was listening to him sing. And he's singing, I don't remember, something like, How Great Thou Art. And then he got done with that one. He went right into another song. And then he sang the third song, and he wouldn't stop. And I cringed a little bit because I thought, I wonder what the homeowner's thinking. And I come back out. We did our work. And I came back up through the homeowner, and she said, That's so beautiful. It reminds me of when I was... went to Sunday school, thinks what she said. What about me? I had worked there for 3 months. I didn't do any singing on the job. I don't know that I enjoy singing by myself. But that plumber was being a testimony of God. And it made that lady, and she was not a godly lady at all. I was even surprised that she had went to Sunday school. I didn't even know she went to church. And her testimony of that singing was, It reminds me of my childhood when I went to Sunday school. That's the testimony that could come forth out of your life. That plumber wasn't trying to impress anyone. He just was singing because he was happy. He loves the Lord. And it's his way of letting people know where he is in the house, I believe. But it was a powerful testimony. So I went home and I pondered this. And I got up the next morning. My alarm went off. 6 o'clock, I don't know what time it was. And you know sometimes when you just wake up, you're singing a song. And in my head, I was singing this song. And I thought, why am I singing this song? All of a sudden, it hit me. It was the song the plumber was singing the day before. Not only was he being an influence, a testimony in my life, but it changed the way I thought. And it was an encouragement to have that godly song in my mind to wake up to, all because a man was willing to step out of his comfort zone, possibly, and to sing. Now, maybe you all sing on the job. I would encourage you to do so if you can. I also work with a lot of subcontractors. The first thing they do is they come in and they crank up the radio. And I wonder if it would have had the same kind of testimony if it was the local country song singing. Would it have made her stop and think about her childhood Sunday school class? No. I wonder what song I'd have woke up thinking in my mind. Our testimonies affect other people. So it's the words that we say, the singing that comes forth out of my life. It affects each other. Our testimony is not what we only say, but it's a life and way of living to the world around us. I wonder how Enoch lived his life. Do you think he could be known that he walked with God if he never talked about God? Do you think Enoch would have had a testimony that he loved God, that he walked with God, if he never talked to his friends at town? If he never opened up his mouth and he was just quiet, and he had said, well, people will see that I'm a godly person. Do you think he would have been known as a man of God? I don't think so. I think he was known as a man of God because he talked about God, and people known him that way. And so I ask you, a testimony is more than just standing up on Sunday morning, but it is a lifestyle of letting the world around us know that we love God. Does a testimony, and I'm thinking of a Sunday morning testimony where you stand up and say, thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. Does that have any saving merit? And I say no. It's not so much the words that we say, but it's the way we live our life. And I had a friend, a very close friend. And his dad was one that would have, he was the first one to have a testimony. Or he was the one that would teach Sunday school. And he was pretty good at it. But his son hated his dad. And I was friends with his son, and he said, my dad isn't who you think he is. And he recorded his dad at work. He recorded his dad, it was years ago. His dad was a foul-mouthed, ungodly man that would wear a plain suit on Sunday morning. And he recorded his dad cussing and swearing. What good is a testimony if your life doesn't match up to it? It goes hand in hand. It's a life that is changed by God. And because of that, you have a testimony. It's not something that you're trying to impress people with. No, it's something that comes out of our hearts. We should be excited about what God has done for us. And it affects the way I drive. See, you could stand up here and say, I love the Lord. But if your driving habits don't say so, I was struck with this thought. I sat with my school board chairman here a few months ago, and we interviewed a young man who teaches our school. And one of the questions he asked that young man, he said, how's your driving habits? Well, now that's a personal question. Do you know your driving habits tell us about who you are? And that young man was honest enough to tell us about his driving habits. That's a testimony. That's something that's coming forth out of your life that is speaking to the neighborhood of who we are. I'd like to look at some verses. Let's look at Psalm 22. We're going to talk about having a testimony, having a word for Christ. Psalm 22 says it like this. Psalm 22, verse 22. It says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. It doesn't say have a testimony, but it says, I'm going to talk about the Lord with my brothers and sisters. That's here at church. I will stand up and talk about what God has done. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. That's what a testimony is, talking about God. Sharing what God has done for you this week, how God has delivered us or touched our life, or how he has inspired us. It's talking about God to our brethren. In 1 John 5:11, it said, this is the record, and that word record is a testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is found in his Son. 1 John 1:2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you eternal life. You're thinking about bearing witness and showing. It's a testimony. It's bearing a testimony of what God has done in our life. That we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There's something about as we share what Christ has done, that it fills us with joy. To hear how Christ has worked in your life or worked in our brother or sister's life, it fills us with joy. Do you understand the power of a testimony or the power of witness? See, when I was a young person, I wasn't always where I should have been in my Christian life. I was somewhat disgruntled with church. But it was through the testimony, it was through friends that loved church and they liked what they were at. And I wasn't sure if I did. I didn't know if I liked where I was at. But it was through faithful friends that kept me at church and helped me make wise decisions. And I actually point that back to where I am today because of the faithfulness of friends. It was through their testimony, through their lifestyle. That's why we say we look at the reviews. You know what a review is? Google reviews. It's a testimony of how you like the product. If you want to leave a testimony of this or a review of this church, it's how much you like going to Lakeview Church and how much they make you feel at home. That's what reviews are. I like this church. It's a God-fearing church. If you don't like a product, it's pretty easy to write a negative review. And reviews are powerful because I read them. And I'll make decisions whether I'm going to buy something or whether I'm not going to buy it. Whether I'm going to buy in or not buy in. And your life has that kind of power to influence people around you to buy in to a godly lifestyle. Or it can turn people off and people say, I don't want anything to do with it. There's no power there. It's empty. It's not. We know that. And your life can speak of it. Think about the poem that says, a little brother follows me. And we could say the little brother, it could be a little sister, or it could be a brother in a church or a sister in the church. Families, there's people we are following. Our lives, we influence each other through our life and what we say. A little brother follows me. A careful boy I want to be, a little brother follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the self-same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whate'er he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says, he's going to be that little brother following me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The bad in me he must not see, the little brother following me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be, the little brother following me. Your life is a powerful witness that is affecting other people around you. Your little brother, your little sister, other youth, young marrieds, we influence each other. Middle-aged, we influence each other. We are influencing each other all throughout time. So number one is use your life as a testimony. I just have a few points here. Use your life as a testimony. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed to be a Christian. I am not ashamed to be a Mennonite. I buy into it. God has done something for me. I love him for it. And your life will be a powerful testimony. Your friends will see it. Your neighbors will see it. The story is told about a Christian who got a job in a lumber camp whose workers had the reputation for being ungodly. A friend, hearing that the man had been hired, said to him, if those lumberjacks ever find out you're a Christian, you're going to be in for a hard time. After a year, the man decided to return home for a visit. While in town, he met the friend who had predicted that he would receive ridicule and persecution from the workers in the lumber camp. Well, asked the friend, did they give you a hard time because you're a Christian? Oh, no, not at all, he replied. They never found out. How sad. The man was ashamed to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And he worked an entire year, and the people around him never knew. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm okay with it. I will tell my friends, I'm okay to serve to be a Christian. I'm okay, youth, young people. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Turn with me to Romans 12. I'm sorry, Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. That was also the memory verse in today's Sunday school lesson. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The word of your testimony is how we will enter, be accepted by our Father in heaven. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If we look at verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. God sees our testimony. Is a testimony important this morning? Absolutely. The words that come out of our mouth, the way we live our life, God is seeing that. And it says here that God sees it. He knows who has the testimony of Jesus Christ. Dragon was wroth. Satan, the works of darkness, do not like a godly person that has a testimony. And Satan wants to squash that individual. Satan doesn't want you to have a testimony. He wants you to be quiet. He wants you to be ashamed. He wants you to sit in the darkness. But we need to be a Stephen, don't we? Full of boldness, proclaiming my love for Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. And that reminds me to have a testimony. To give an answer of the hope to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Our way of living, our good conversation. That's what Jesus wants from our life. Luke 21:12. And before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth of wisdom with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou the partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. For which cause I also suffered these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Allow your life to be a powerful testimony to the world around us, to the friends around you, to your closest friends, that your testimony, that your way of living would push them to a closer walk with God. It's possible. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. And I just want to take this thought of a good name. Because, you know, we are known by our name. And when I say the name Adolf Hitler, right away your mind goes to his reputation was not good. We don't know there was much good at all in Adolf Hitler. His testimony, his way of living was terrible, was ruthless. If I say the name Abe Lincoln, you think about the way he lived his life. If I think Fanny Crosby, you begin to think about her way of life. It was the way she lived her life, the things that she said, the things that she did, her testimony and how she influenced people with the songs that she wrote. If I say Elvis Presley, and you're an older person here, you would know who I'm talking about. Another very influential, ungodly man. We could talk about the country stars. Toby Keith just died about a year ago. Toby Keith was an old country singer. He sang about trucks, beer, and women. And now he's facing God. His life is over. And his testimony will follow him into eternity. And he's going to stand before an almighty God, and he's going to give an answer for the songs that he sang, for the lives that he influenced, for the thousands of people that he influenced for the wrong. Because of his testimony, he is giving account. How about your name? If I say Stan Martin, I trust your heart gets warm and say, there's a man of God. Put your name in there. Do you have a testimony of following God, a lifestyle? The verses we read in Revelation talked about, it was by the word of their testimony is how they stood before God. We could look at number two, the impact of a testimony. How Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were people that just young men that wanted to stand for the truth and for stand for right. And they stood before the king and they said, oh God, or oh king, we can't answer you very fast. But we know that we love God and we're not going to bow to you. We're going to stand in front of our God and we're not going to bow our knee to you. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. It's the same God we serve today. They didn't know what God was going to do. They fully expected their lives were over, but they knew their God was more powerful than King Nebuchadnezzar. The impact, the thousands of people, their lives impacted because they stood for right. The testimony that went forth. And I'm sure there were people that talked about those young men. He said, did you hear about them, those young men that would stand for truth, stand for right? We could think about, thinking about the impact of our testimony. We could go to Acts 26. We could look at Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. How he stood in front of King Agrippa and he shared a testimony of what God has done for him. He said, I was an ungodly man. I was doing all these things. God got a hold of me. And he began to preach a sermon about who God was. Powerful testimony. Almost, King Agrippa said, thou persuadest me. Our testimonies can change people's hearts and change the way they think. We could go back to the life of Enoch, walking side by side with God. And his life had a powerful testimony that he loved God. That he loved God. Our lifestyles need to go along with that. If we're going to have an impact, if our testimony is going to have an impact, our walk and our talk need to line up. The places that we go, our places of entertainment. We live in a world where world just goes, well, it's talked about why we're here this morning. You know, as we were driving up here, I told my wife, I said, there, we had a truck pulling several four-wheelers. And I said, you know, those young people there, I don't know if they were young people, those men there are going to have fun for the weekend. And we're sitting here at church this morning. And it's a blue, sunny day. It'd be great to be outside. And that's the world that we live in. Today's a great day to party, to have fun. But our life has a different testimony coming forth. We don't take part of that. The seriousness of having a testimony and lifestyle. Turn with me to Matthew 7. I think Matthew 7 is some of the most serious words that our Lord has ever spoken. He says, not everyone, verse 21, not everyone that has a testimony is going to be saved. It's not what it says, but it's what it says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's who's going to be in heaven. The one that has a testimony and that allows God to change their life and to live it out. There's a lot of people that have a testimony. A lot of people say, I love the Lord. There's a lot of people that go to church. But only those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have done many wonderful things, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of our lives someday. And we're going to be judged by the testimony that has been coming forth out of my life. The way I've lived my life. What is your testimony this morning? What does the community know by you? When they hear your name, when they see your pickup, when they see your car, when they see you in the grocery store, when they see you at the hardware store, do they say, there is a man, a woman of God? They walk with God. That's a godly person. Or do they say, that's a hypocrite? Which one is it? What is your testimony this morning?